Hi, Podsman Matt here, coming to you with a very special episode. Podsman Josh has written a wonderful play-by-play of a fascinating game for us from May 17th, 1920. So I am going to read the play-by-play. It is New York Giants at Pittsburgh Pirates, again from May 17th, 1920. Thank you, Podsman Josh, for this great write-up. 5,000 fans click their way through the turnstiles today at Forbes Field, where the Giants of New York have come to take on the Pittsburgh club. On the hill, it would be Fred Tony for the Giants and Wilbur Cooper starting the combat for the Pirates. Let's play ball. In the first frame, New York's Fletcher hits a double down the left field line, but his teammates can't bring him around to score. Pittsburgh sends up Bigby, Carey, and Southworth in their half. All are retired. The second is quiet as well. In the New York third, pitcher Fred Tony triples and scores on a burned single for the game's first notch. 1-0 New York. In the New York fourth, Larry Doyle and Jigger Stats both strike out. Fred Lear follows with a single to left, but dies stealing. In the bottom of the fourth, Pittsburgh's Southworth dies stealing as well, following a walk. The score remains 1-0 for a slim New York edge. In the New York fifth, High Pockets Kelly singles to right, then makes third, and Snyder hits to center for a base. Burns walks, and now three are on. The batter is Ross Youngs, who drops a Texas single back off second. Kelly scores. Before the inning is complete, Snyder also scores, as does Burns. Three runs cross the platter in a big inning for the McGrawmen of New York, giving them a healthy 4-0 lead. In the bottom of the fifth for the Pittsburgh club, the home team battles back. Possum, Witted, triples to right field, then Cutshaw walks, and Charlie Grimm scratches a hot single to Lear, but Witted is held at third. Bases are filled for the catcher Walter Schmidt, and Schmidt slams a three-bagger to the fence. All three Pirates score. Now Hinchman bats for Cooper and drives Schmidt home 4-4. The game is tied as we enter the sixth. The new hurlers go on a roll. Spit and Phil Douglas replaces Tony. Hal Carson is in for the Pirates. No runs allowed by either. In the seventh chapter, New York's laughing Larry Doyle is not laughing as he gets rung up for strikes. He doesn't like it, and he says so, drawing the wrath of the chief arbiter. Doyle angrily hurls his stick upon the soil and kicks at it. The umps don't like that at all, and Doyle is removed. On to the eighth frame. Benny Koff enters the game to bat and becomes disgusted when George Cutshaw pegs him out. He thought he was safe by a country mile. He's so disgusted that he returns to the visitor's bench and suddenly gives vent to his temper by seizing the large water bottle and slamming it with all his might upon the ground. The glass shatters, some of the liquid wetting hit the uniforms of Benny's teammates. Oh my! Douglas for New York and Carlson for Pittsburgh are twirling masterfully. Both give up nothing. Inning after inning, frame after frame, all the way to extra periods. In the New York 12th, there's finally a bit of action. With one away, Burns doubles along the left field foul line. Young walks. Fletcher forces him. But Burns makes third. On the pitch, it's an attempted double steal. Schmidt runs Burns back and apparently tags him, but the runner is called safe. Schmidt can't believe it. While they argue the play, Burns turns boldly and dashes for home. Oh, but he's out! Cutshaw dashes in from second to cover the plate and takes Witted's heave for the tag in time. On to the 13th, still tied at 4. It's a quiet 13th with no batsman making a clatter. In the 14th, High pockets Kelly again swings a hot stick as he singles to left with one away for New York. Snyder sacrifices. Burns walks. But Young flies out to end the rally. In the Pittsburgh half, Whitted singles to left with one away. Cutshaw sacrifices him over with a bunt. Grimm walks. Schmidt is passed intentionally, filling the bases. Fred Nicholson gets the call to pinch it for Carlson, but pops out to end the inning. The game is still tied. In the visitors' 15th, Pittsburgh calls Elmer Ponder to the mound for the team's third hurler of the day. New York's Art Fletcher greets him with a single. Replacement second sacker, Ed Sicking, in for banished Doyle, successfully sacrifices Koff. Koff will try to move Fletch over, or maybe bring him home. He puts it in play, and oh, he is safe on an error. Pitcher Ponder picks up the ball and tries to catch Fletcher at the plate, but his woolly heave goes back to the screen. Fletcher scores, and now Koff tallies as well. Two runs across. New York is ready to put this one to bed. Up 6-4. Pittsburgh comes up in the bottom, needing two to tie and more to win. First pirate up, Carson Bigby slashes a deep one to center. It's over Koff's ear for a triple. Max Carey now coaxes a pass and promptly steals second. Pirates on second and third. Southworth is the man of the moment. He hits one to Schorff and he's safe as Fletcher fumbles the pill, allowing Bigby to score. Oh, but Carey wanders too far off and is caught off second. One down. Whitted singles to right, and that's it for Douglas, the New York pitcher. Jesse Barnes takes the hill. Both squads have now used an astounding three pitchers apiece. Cutshaw flies out for the second out, and it appears Barnes has settled things. But the Buccaneers aren't done. Howdy Catan singles to left. Fletcher makes a remarkable pickup, but his running throw to third is wild. Southworth races home, and Whitted makes third. Catan advances to second. Yes, the Pirates refuse to be beaten here in the 15th. It's all tied up. Charlie Grimm is looking to end it. Here's the pitch. And Charlie sends a terrific long shot over Young's head to right field. And that'll do it. Willie proceeds across the platter with a winning run. Unbelievable. 7-6, Pittsburgh wins. That's got to be the most thrilling fracas of the year here in Pittsburgh, folks, as the Pirates plate three in the bottom of the 15th to send their bitter rivals McGraw and the New York boys home in defeat. Final score, 7-6.
The music you heard was Kitten on the Keys by Zez Confree, made available for free reuse from the Library of Congress's Citizen DJ Project. The game recap heavily used an account written by Edward Ballinger on May 18, 1920 in the Pittsburgh Daily Post. You can search historical newspapers at bapl.org. We also used box scores and other information at baseballreference.com. This account was researched by Josh Burke, read for you by Matthew Rothfuss, a production of This Week in 1920s Baseball.